pain. Things changed after a guy gave you an orgasm. Not something I'd ever considered before, since no guy had done that to me, but I was catching on pretty quickly. I'd gotten back in bed while he showered, since it turned out that we really were up early. It wasn't even 8 in the morning. I tried not to imagine him in there touching himself, but my thoughts kept going back to that, and what it must look like, and that was, well, it was turning me on, which was pretty shocking considering I still wasn't sure I had complete use of my legs yet. I really needed to stop thinking about all of that. So I used that time to take stock of my life. I finally had a non-Kala-induced orgasm, which was pretty epic. Part of me was proud that I'd finally jumped that hurdle, even though I was 21 when it happened. But I wasn't sure what to do with it. I mean, what did it mean for me? For Jax? For us? Oh my God, was there an us now? My heart rate kicked up a notch as I sat straight up in the bed, staring at the closed bathroom door as I held the blanket to my chin. I could hear the water running from the bathroom, and then I heard him. Not groaning or anything like that, but he was humming something, or maybe singing, but it sounded like humming because of the water. Suddenly, all of this was so intimate I wanted to jump out of the bed and run screaming and flailing through the townhouse and out into the streets. What was I doing here? There couldn't be an us that involved orgasms and showers and songs being sung and breakfasts. I didn't plan on being here forever, and I planned on going back to college in August once I got the approval for financial aid, and that's what I wanted, right? There was no future between us. I blinked slowly. And I needed to be focused on finding my mom so I didn't end up getting cut up by some low-level gangsta, or worse yet, meeting this Isaiah face to face. More important, someone like Jax couldn't be in my life. The skin along my back had the consistency of... So caught up in my own head, I hadn't heard the water shut off, so when the bathroom door opened and Jax stepped into the bedroom, I wasn't expecting it. He had a towel knotted around his lean hips, and his hair was soaked, brushed back off his forehead, and his entire body was on display. Yummy eye candy for the win. Damn, he looked good. Like, good enough that I might have been drooling again.
"You want a shower before we head out?"
he asked, strolling toward the bed like he wasn't wearing anything more than a towel. "Huh?" A half-grin appeared.
"A shower? Do you want a shower?"
I was an imbecile. "Yes," I squeaked, popping out of the bed. I grabbed my clothes off the dresser. "A shower is a great idea," I rambled on, trying not to look at him. "You're so smart." Jax twisted sideways as I passed him and smacked my behind. I jumped and emitted another squeal out of shock, and he chuckled. Looking over my shoulder to shoot him a glare, I then realized he hadn't smacked me with his hand. It was the towel that had been around his hips. And I was not only staring at his muscled back, which, wow, was a nice back, but also his muscled ass. "Oh my God," I shrieked, "you're naked!" That chuckle turned into a laugh, and I whipped around, almost throwing myself into the bathroom, but it was too late. Those firm globes were seared into my memory. He'd been naked, totally freaking naked, and didn't care. Complete lack of modesty there, and that further cemented there could never be an us. I had more modesty than a church full of old nuns. I took advantage of the soap that smelled like him, and the 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It wasn't until after I showered, had changed into my own clothing, and was twisting my wet, combed hair into a bun at the top of my head, that I realized I had no makeup on. Nothing. What had been left on my face this morning had rubbed off a bit, letting the scar show more clearly. Dermablend was serious stuff, but it was most definitely off my face now.
Oh God.
My wide eyes stared back at me in the reflection, the blue so bright in the early morning sun coasting in through the small square window. My face had that peaches and cream complexion without the Dermablend, a coloring that no makeup in the world could replicate. If I saw only the right side of my face, I knew I looked better without the makeup. But I didn't walk around with only half of a face. Without makeup, the scar was still a deep shade of pink, standing out starkly against my complexion, slicing from the corner of my left eye almost to the corner of my lip. It was the only thing I could see.
Kella?
I stiffened at the sound of Jax's voice and then gripped the sink. I couldn't go out there. It was ridiculous, but I couldn't let him see me like this.
Are you okay?
He called. Holding my breath, I turned toward the door. Would it be obvious if I walked out with a towel over my head? I was being stupid. I knew this. But Jax had just been kissing me, he'd had his hands on me, and he'd touched me, making me feel something so beautiful, and this was so ugly. I didn't want him to... A whoosh of cold air swept through my body, and I closed my eyes, drawing in several deep breaths. Jax knew the scar was on my face. He'd been all up close and personal with my face. He even kissed... The bathroom door swung open, banging into the wall, and my eyes popped open as Jax barged in. I hadn't locked the bathroom door. Lasai. He did a body scan, as if he were checking to see if I was injured or something.
Jesus, he ground out. I thought you fell in here and knocked yourself unconscious or something.
Well, that was kind of embarrassing, but not the most pressing issue. I angled my body to the left so he could see my right profile. I can't go to breakfast.
What?
I can't go to breakfast. I need to go back to the house. I knew it sounded irrational and stupid. Can we go back to the house? Jack shifted, and his denim-clad leg came into my view. His feet were bare, poking out from the frayed hem of his jeans.
Why?
I just need to go back to the house. If you want to go ahead to IHOP, I can get my car and meet you there. That would probably...
Hell no.
My chin jerked up and dipped to the left.
Excuse me?
His eyes flashed with anger.
We're not taking separate cars when I just had my hand between your legs and you came while calling my name.
I opened my mouth, but really, what do you say in response to that?
We're going to leave here together, eat some greasy goodness, and then we're going to go check out this place for your mom.
He continued.
And when we're done, if we have time before our shifts start, we're going to indulge in a nap.
A nap? Really? Out of all of that, that is what I focused on?
Together.
A nap together?
Yeah.
And then his voice dropped.
And if we have time, I might make you come calling my name again.
Holy crap, he did not just say that. Then he stepped farther into the bathroom, coming at me, and I backed up, hitting the sink. He crowded me, and as I tried to look to the left, his hand cupped my right cheek, and the other circled the left side of my neck. He turned my face straight to his. This wasn't the first time he'd done that, I realized.
I'm not stupid,
he said, smoothing his thumb along the bones in my throat.
I'm also pretty damn observant when I need to be.
Okay, I whispered. Thanks for the heads up on that. His lips twitched as he tilted my head back so our eyes locked.
I know why you're hiding in the bathroom.
Oh, God. Because I'm afraid you're going to make me try another pie I'd never eaten before?
Huh, no.
His head lowered, and I swallowed hard.
I don't notice it.
My heart tumbled over, and I went with pretending to be dumb. Notice what?
Kella, babe, you know what I'm talking about. This.
Then his head slanted, and I felt his lips at the corner of my left eye, just below it. I sucked in a sharp breath that hurt. He'd done this before, too, and it created the same maelstrom of emotion in me. But he did more this time. His lips followed that scar all the way down my cheek, right to the corner of my left lip, and then he kissed me. It was soft and sweet, and it lingered. My hands went to his chest, and I leaned into him. When he lifted his mouth from mine and pressed his forehead against mine, tears had built in the back of my throat.
I don't care about it, Kella. I don't even think about it,
he said.
I don't even see it.
I squeezed my eyes shut as my heart squeezed into goo. Immediately, I didn't believe him, because come the fuck on. But I stopped. I just stopped. Stopped telling myself I knew what was going on in Jax's head and that I knew what he wanted and didn't want. I stopped. Because I didn't know. No one ever knew, scarred or not. Stopped telling myself there was no point, because I planned on leaving. And all I had was what Jax was telling me and what he was showing me. So I stopped all the other bullshit, and I shook that crap off, and it was like scrubbing Dermablend off my face at night when I finally felt like me. All of this might be dumb. It might bite me in the ass later, but I was going to be dumb. I was going to be the best dumb I could be. Whoa. I wobbled a little and exhaled through my nose, and when I spoke, my voice was unsteady and the back of my eyes burned, but I pushed on. Okay, let's do this. And get this done, because I really want that nap. Those lips curved against mine.
That's my girl.
When Jax walked out of the townhouse, he was tugging the back of his shirt down as he walked down the small set of stairs on the front stoop. He was rocking a pair of mirrored sunglasses, aviator style, like Jace wore, and he'd looked just as good in them. We didn't talk much as he drove to IHOP, which was good, because I was fixated on what might happen before or after the possible nap. More orgasms not self-induced? Count me in. I was so going to follow through with my newly desired dumbness and not worry about anything else while exploring the dumb. Like any normal red-blooded female, I'd thought about sex a decent amount, but not as much as I had in the last hour or so. My brain was playing happily in the gutter, right up until the plate of bacon, biscuits, and something Jax had said were grits and that I needed to try. It was hard not thinking about being out in public without makeup, but every time my mind wandered to it, or I thought someone was checking it out, like when a small boy had peeked over the back of the booth or when the waitress smiled at me, I forced it out of my thoughts. And then my thoughts went to this. This Jax and me thing. There was a thing. As he'd said earlier, he had his hand between my thighs and I'd called his name, so there was a thing. A thing I had little experience in, and I wasn't sure how far this thing really was going to go, because if my financial aid kicked in, I'd be heading 3 hours down the road. What kind of future was there for our thing when I'd be at college and he'd be all sexy working the bar? Why was I even thinking about this? Because I was dumb, and I'd already decided that I was going to go with this thing, whatever it was, and whatever going with this thing meant. I poked at the white, lumpy crap with my fork.
This is grits. Try it.
It looks like something out of a horror movie. I poked it again. I'm afraid it's going to launch itself off the plate and cover my face. Jax chuckled as he added some pancakes to the river of syrup. It's not funny. I'll end up birthing an alien grit baby or something, I muttered. And then what are we going to do? He peered up through his lashes, a small, amused grin playing across his lips.
Just try it.
What does it taste like? I resisted.
Grits.
I lowered my fork, looking at him blandly.
Details.
He laughed as he cut through what looked like 10 pancakes stacked.
One cannot simply describe grits. One must simply enjoy them.
My eyes rolled, but I scooped up a small taste, made sure I had cheese in it, and gingerly tasted them. The whole time Jax watched and waited. I swallowed, unsure of what to think. I tried a little more.
So?
He asked. I don't know. I shoved a mouthful in. I haven't decided yet. I think they taste good, but they're called grits, therefore I'm not sure I can freely admit to liking something called grits. I have to really think about this. Jax laughed.
Cute.
I grinned as I went for a slice of bacon. So, where are we going after this?
Inside Philly,
he said in between mouthfuls.
There's a house she used to hang out at a lot. Maybe we'll get lucky and she'll be there, or they've seen her recently.
Sounds like... Kala! And Jax! Shrieked a familiar voice. I twisted in the booth, spying Katie. She was trotting over to us. Literally trotting, and I blinked, wondering if we time-warped back to the 80s and I'd been unaware of it. Katie was wearing hot pink spandex tights, slouchy purple socks, sneakers, and an off-the-shoulder black shirt. And a scarf. A polka-dotted red and blue scarf. And it was June. Hey, I said, waving a slice of bacon around. Girl? Katie stopped at our booth, holding on to a carry-out box. Look at you! Told you your life was going to change. Jack shoved a huge slice of pancake into his mouth, and I could tell he was trying not to smile. What are you doing up so early? She asked, and then went on before I could answer. I was doing yoga every morning, and I get IHOP, Waffle House, or Denny's every morning. It's like the universal counterbalance or some shit like that. But it's still kind of early for hot, busy bartenders to be eating breakfast together. My gaze shifted to Jax.
We woke up together, he said, and that was all he said.
Katie's eyes turned into spaceships, and I almost shouted that it wasn't what she was thinking, but then I realized that it was what she was thinking, so I forced myself not to say anything. A big smile split across her pretty face. Awesome sauce! Seriously, if you two stay together and end up getting married and having a kid, I think you should name your baby Katie. Warmth crept into my cheeks.
What?
I mean, you could name a boy baby Katie, but they'd probably get made fun of in school, and I don't think you two would want that. Oh, is that grits?
She switched topics, not even taking a breath.
You need more cheese on them. One morning you need to come over to my house. I can make some mean-ass grits.
That sounds good.
Jax replied smoothly, his dark eyes twinkling in the lights.
And we'll take the name thing into consideration.
I turned my what-the-fuck stare on him. Katie giggled. Awesome. Well, I need to get home with my muffins and waffles. See you guys later. Watching her spin on her heel and flounce out of the restaurant, I had nothing of any value to say, so I went with the next best thing. Did you know she fell off a pole, hit her head, and is now psychic?
That's what I hear.
I bit down on my lower lip. Roxy says she's been pretty on point before.
Katie,
drawled Jax, and I looked over the table at him. He was smiling.
I wouldn't be opposed to naming a baby girl Katie.
Oh my God, I said. Jax tipped his head back and laughed that deep, sexy laugh, and I couldn't help but smile. I wasn't smiling when we entered the part of town one did not willingly venture into 40 minutes later. The street wasn't very active, as it wasn't even noon yet. Jax found a parking spot in front of the worn-down brownstones across from a city park that looked like it belonged in a post-apocalypse movie. My gaze skipped over the boarded-up windows and doors on some of the units.
I'm not sure about this.
This is the last shithole I want to bring you to, but the last I checked, you served me with a dose of attitude about this being your problem and shit.
He killed the engine and turned what was probably a very smug look on me.
So that's why we're here.
He had a good point, but it wasn't like I was going to admit to that. Whatever. His lips twitched.
Stick close to me, okay? And let me do the talking. No, don't look at me like you just sucked on something sour. Let me do the talking. If you can't agree to that, then we're going to drive off. I'm going to lock you up with Clyde or Reese, and then I'll come back here on my own.
My eyes narrowed on him. You don't have to be so damn bossy.
Yes, I do.
He leaned forward and kissed the tip of my nose. It was quick, but it still startled me. When he pulled back, he was grinning.
Do you agree?
I hesitated and then sighed. Wasn't like I was Rambo and was going to run into the brownstones by myself, demanding to have them hand over my mother or else. Oh, all right, yes, I agree.
Jax nodded, and then he climbed out. I sat there for a second, said a little prayer, and then got out. I did stick close to him as we walked down the block, and then headed up the crumbling set of steps to a brownstone that had two windows boarded up on the second floor. "Mom used to come here?" I asked, folding my arms around my waist. He nodded as he glanced down at me.
"Yeah."
Pressing my lips together, I knew I shouldn't be surprised. Wasn't like this was anything new, but seeing this and picturing my mom hanging out in a place like this just didn't set well, no matter how many trailers I'd pulled her out of when I was a teenager. Jax rapped his knuckles on the door. A few moments passed, and when no one answered, I figured this was going to be a no-go, but then Jax pounded his fist on it. "Whoa," I murmured, glancing around. "Do you think that's a good idea?" He ignored me as he leaned in.
"Open up the door, Richie. I know you're in there. Your piece of shit car's out front."
My eyes widened as my stomach dipped. There was a beat of silence, and then the front door opened to a crack. I couldn't see anyone, but I heard in a scratchy voice,
"What the fuck do you want, Jackson?"
Jax placed his hand on the center of the faded red door.
"We need to talk." "Talk," was the response. "Not on the front doorstep of your damn house, Richie. Let us in."
There was a pause.
"Us?"
Then the door opened to about a foot, and a man's head appeared. I took an involuntary step back from the sight of the unshaven face, bloodshot eyes, and bulbous nose covered in broken blood vessels.
"Who the fuck are you?"
I recognized the man, even though he stared at me like he'd never seen me before. Holy shit, there was no way I'd forget those watery eyes and nose. He used to come over to the house and party with Mom.
"Really none of your business, Richie, and I'm not here to make introductions,"
Jax cut in, and his tone, wow, it was all kinds of badass. I was actually staring up at him, kind of shocked.
"Open the door."
Richie didn't open the door. There was a low curse, and then Jax moved. Planting his foot into the door, he pushed with his boot and hand. The door opened, and Richie went wheeling backward. Jax took my hand, tugging me inside, and the smell, God, the smell was the first thing I noticed as he shut the door behind us. The room, which consisted of a blaring TV and two couches that had seen better days, smelled like a mixture of cat piss and booze. "Please do not let my mom be in here." I know that I was wrong for thinking that. Finding her would ease my problems quickly, but I didn't want to think of her in a place like this.
"Not cool, man."
Richie backed away, scratching at his throat with dirty nails. The skin of his neck was red.
"Pushing the door open like you're a damn cop or something." "You didn't open the door,"
Jax returned. I had to wonder how much practice he had busting up into houses with, questionable residents, because he was completely at ease doing so. I took a step to the side because I realized there was a hole in the floorboard in front of me, and I could see over the back of a couch. My chest squeezed. There was a small child, maybe 5 or 6, curled up on the couch, lying under a thin quilt. A cat was tucked in the little boy's lap. I stared at the kid, sickened.
"What's up?"
Richie asked. Jax kept his arms loose at his sides.
"We're looking for Mona." "Mona Fritz? Like there's another Mona I'd come here looking for? And this isn't the first time I've come here looking for Mona,"
Jax said, surprising me. But then I remembered him saying he and Clyde had done this before.
"Don't pull crap. You know how this works."
It worked a certain way. Richie kept digging at the skin by his throat, but a certain gleam crept into his eyes.
"I ain't got no part in Mona's shit."
Jax took a step forward, dipping his chin.
"I'll only ask you once, Richie."
"Man, I ain't..."
"One time,"
Jax warned. Richie didn't answer, and then Jax sprang forward, grasping the front of Richie's shirt and lifting him onto the tips of his bare feet. Holy crap, this was going to get physical. My mouth dropped, and then I moved forward, keeping my voice low as I reached their side. There's a kid on the couch sleeping, Jax.
Shit,
muttered Jax, but his hands didn't come off the guy.
You got Shia here, in this rat hole?
His damn mother skipped out. I'm doing the best I can.
His biceps flexed.
Let's take this into the kitchen, and you're going to play nice. For Shia, okay?
We took it into the kitchen, or what might have been the kitchen. It didn't have a sink, just a gaping hole where one should be. Out of the corner of my eyes, I thought I saw something brown and disgustingly large scurry over the wall near the fridge.
Mona ain't here,
Richie said finally.
You mind if I check that out?
Have at it.
Richie stepped to the side and leaned against the counter.
But I'm telling you, she ain't here, and you ain't the first person to come looking for her.
I stilled. We're not?
Who else has been looking for her?
Jax asked, not moving. Richie's watery eyes narrowed on me.
There's something about...
Eyes on me, Richie.
When he obeyed the demand, Jax didn't look any more relaxed. Unease formed in my belly.
Who came looking for Mona?
Some dudes. Some bad fucking dudes,
he replied, folding his scrawny arms across his frail-looking chest. I thought this probably wasn't the best conversation to have in a room that a small child was sleeping in, but he went on.
Guys who work for Isaiah.
Oh, bad news.
We already know that,
Jax replied calmly.
There's some talk,
he said after a few moments.
Mona's in deep.
Another thing we already know.
Richie grimaced.
Yeah, but do you know she was the go-between to what was close to 3 million in heroin for Isaiah? And she was supposed to turn that stuff over a week ago?
I almost groaned. My worst suspicions were confirmed. The drugs belonged to the Uber drug lord and not Greasy Guy.
Word on the street is that someone else has got the shit, and Isaiah wants to hear it from the horse's mouth that she ain't got the shit no more.
Richie hacked out a dry laugh.
Man, if I knew that stuff was at the house and she wasn't there, I'd have been all over that myself.
Nice. And he kept going.
She's a dead bitch walking. You know that, Jax. Good thing she gave...
That's enough.
He cut in harshly, while my stomach ended up somewhere on the gross-as-hell floor.
Do you have any idea of where she is? Or Rooster?
Rooster?
Richie laughed again.
Man, he's holed up wherever Mona is. Or if he's smart, he's gotten far away from where she is. Man, Jax, you know how Mona was... She'd get high, get to talking and acting like she was big shit because she was running mule for Isaiah and the shit got out. Mona ain't smart. She should have handed over that dope instead of sitting on it.
Why didn't she? I asked, and I could feel Jax's eyes on me. Did you hear anything about that? He nodded.
Stupid-ass Rooster was talking about trying to run some game over Isaiah. Instead of taking the cut they got for going and picking the dope up, he wanted more before they handed it over, so they were sitting on it. And that put the asshole Mac in a bad position, because he was supposed to get that shit from them and hand it over. 'Cause, you know, Isaiah, he don't want to get his hands dirty.
Oh God, that was just worse in 500 different ways. I didn't know what to say.
And knowing Mona and Rooster, they probably got themselves a bit of it, got messed up, and then freaked, knowing they've pissed off Isaiah. Shit ain't looking good for them.
He paused, spreading his arms.
And now, here we are, and all that shit rolls downhill, right through Mac, Rooster, and Mona.
A muscle thrummed along Jax's jaw.
Damn.
Yep. You know who might have a clue to where they are?
Richie tilted his head to the side. Jax's chin went up a notch.
You know Ike?
Met him a time or two.
Richie nodded.
Track him down. He's been living north of Plymouth, in the camp called Happy Trails. Can't miss him. Got one of those souped-up trucks.
He glanced over at me again.
We've met, haven't we? Man, 'cause you look familiar. I can't put it... Wait.
His pale eyes widened.
Holy shit, it's true.
Richie,
warned Jax in a low voice as he reached into his pocket.
Don't piss me off.
Whoa, man, I'm not trying. I like you. Always have. Being we both have seen battle.
He raised his hands, and I saw it then. The vicious red track marks on his arms.
But you gotta know, there's more word on the street talking about how Mona's daughter is here. I just didn't believe it. You better hope Isaiah doesn't catch wind of that shit.
Well, a little late on hoping for that.
Stop looking at her,
Jax ordered, and Richie stopped looking at me as Jax pulled a wad of cash out of his pocket and dropped it on the counter.
Use that to get your boy some food. If I even fucking catch wind of you spending it on dope, I'm going to revisit, and it isn't going to be pretty.
My breath caught as I stared at the money. It wasn't a whole ton of it, but it was a decent-sized wad. Then I stared at Jax. He was giving money to Richie for his kid. I think in that moment, I definitely went from liking Jax straight into crush territory. After Jax dropped the money on the counter, he said something to Richie about us not being there, and then he took my hand and led me out of the house. I wanted to grab the child and make a run for it, but considering how everything was going for me, I doubted he'd be better off with me.
Should we have checked upstairs? I asked as the door closed behind us.
Jax shook his head.
Richie is in line. Mona isn't there. We'll check out Ike and see if he has any idea.
I headed down the stairs, my mind caught up in everything. I'd come home thinking I could get my money back from Mom, or at least have it out with her, realized neither of those two things were going to happen, and tried to make some much-needed money, but in the end, found myself in the middle of a million-dollar drug dispute.
Mom.
Sigh.
You okay?
He asked quietly, squeezing my hand as we hit the sidewalk. Glancing up at him, I realized something else, something that was probably the most unexpected part in all of this. I'd found Jax. I nodded, and then I said, "No. I mean, it's been so long since I've been around any of this stuff. I forgot what it was like." Jax tugged me closer until I was walking with my body pressed against his side, and, letting go of my hand, he dropped his arm over my shoulders. This was nice. Brandon would do this sometimes, but it never felt like this.
"Not cool that you have to remember what this was like," he said, "that you couldn't just forget. I didn't want that."
Tires squealed, shrieking, and the smell of burnt rubber filled the air. The sound raised the hairs all over my body as Jax's arm tightened on my shoulders. He spun around, keeping me tucked close, just in time to see a black SUV cut between two parked cars, smacking into one. Metal crunched and grinded, giving way as the SUV jumped the sidewalk. My heart stopped, and then sped up. The SUV was coming straight for us. 19.